Tuned in means Joe Thomas now. Brian Kilmeade at 9. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
I ain't had a day off now in over a year. My Jamaican vacation's gonna start right here. If the phone's for me, you can tell them I just sailed away. And pour me something tall and strong. Make me a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
Here it comes, y'all.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Sure, it's a holiday weekend. Doesn't mean the news doesn't need to be chewed on a little bit. We got Vince Ellison, Project 21, the great conservative think tanks in the black community. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court ruling on vote harvesting. Congressman Bob Good was down at the border, and we're going to get his report. And plus, I am told that my complaints about having a wee bit of a hangover yesterday after consuming a considerable amount of Trump champagne, which I love, by the way, after moving into my new house, has got somebody who would like to have a word with me about it. So we'll get into that. But right now, I'm going to jump off what we just did with Phil Jaramita. I played a conversation I had with him regarding the school board's decision to go to a different format for public comment. They're going to have a longer public comment session, but limited to 40 people. And if there's more than 40 people signed up, they're going to use a lottery system to choose who gets to speak there. He says it's the same lottery system, same software that John Zug uses for jury selections. And we all know how much fun that is when you get your name called there. Nicole Athey from the parents group pushing back against the critical thought, quote unquote, in the schools, the justice education initiatives in this strategic plan, is on the Newsmakers line with us. Their website is care-acps.org. Nikki, happy Independence Day weekend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's one of my favorite holidays, so I'm super jazzed about it. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, really why I'm on today is kind of in response to some things that have happened this week and yesterday, exactly what you've been talking about this morning. And here's the bottom line. We need new leadership on the school board. They have completely abused our trust and their responsibility. We have parents' voices who are being silenced, shut down completely. Teachers are being bullied into silence. They're fearing for their jobs, like they can't even have, they can't even make a comment or ask a question. That's not even saying that anybody's opposed to solving a problem. It's that there is not room for a dissenting opinion. Well, so I ask, if teachers are bullied into silence, what can you expect for your children?
Well,
right?
Yeah. So I thought we were against.
What kind of environment are we creating here?
Yeah, I thought we were against bullying in school. But let me ask, because you've shown me some documents, really, a lot of this wouldn't even exist if it weren't for the whistleblowers and for people who want to bash teachers. I would argue against it. I push back against that because the teachers really have been the agents in this, you know, blowing the whistle and saying, you got to see this. You got to see what's going on here. You have been privy to some information that's come from them. I've talked to some of the teachers who, you know, at one point were like, yeah, I want to tell my story, and then said, you know, on advice of counsel, which is fair. I don't want anyone to lose their job. I don't want anyone. I just want them to teach our kids math and reading and writing and the honest telling of our history, Nikki. But when Phil says this, and again, I'm not hitting Phil for this. This is just his report from the Albemarle School Board.
One of the views, or maybe a common view among board members, is that it has been an inclusive process. It has been a long process.
And again, I'm astonished because if a conservative wants to do something, all their opponents have to do is delay it until somebody else is in office. But on the school board, apparently, they have no compunction about saying, yeah, we talked about all this already. But the important part of that, I think the nuance to that is the fact that once the teachers started saying, oh, sure, justice sounds like a great educational thing. Oh, they're going to teach our kids justice. So you see that on a on a school board meeting agenda, you know, like, oh, who could be against teaching about justice? That's a thing we all want our kids to understand, until a teacher whistle blows and says, no, that's not what this is. They're very good at naming these groups and these educational policies things that are not indicative of all of what they are, Nikki. That's what I'm seeing anyway.
Yep, that's what happens when you change the language. That's when you look at new term definitions from some website instead of, you know, so your founding principle of the strategic plan, for example, is this anti-racism policy, which is basically made up words. Yeah. So when we talk about things about the design process and terms they use to say, this has been very inclusive process. That is not true. This was done during a pandemic. Per their own policy, they hand select like-minded individuals for the most part. They do solicit some community members. But when you start the meeting, every meeting saying, okay, this is the old plan, but our new plan, we highly encourage you for it to be based on equity and anti-racism policy. We are starting a movement here. We're the first school system that's going to implement a strategic plan not based on, you know, the normal, like everybody else has, like academics.
Right,
it's going to be based on equity, inclusion, and anti-racism.
Right. Well, we've seen this.
When we dig in...
Well, you know, we've seen this, and what you've seen is, and I want you to keep pushing on this, is parents are waking up to this and joining in at your website and saying, hold it, I thought this was supposed to be about equity. This seems in anything but equitable.
Absolutely. So, and to your point here, right, this is the point I'm trying to make. Parents are being silenced, and we can't have that. We're not going to take that crap. We have meticulously gone through to understand what their process is. We've engaged in it. We've had a petition. We've had hundreds of people speaking out. We've had people come to the school boards. And every single time I've written and asked for an agenda item. You don't just get a no, you get a hell no. And then you get the, well, just, you know, that's why we have the public forum. And then you get a public forum cap and a lottery system. And it's really clever how Phil, you referenced, how they phrase it in their press release. And they kind of reference a policy, and then they talk about this lottery system in the next sentence. Mm-hmm. That policy doesn't talk about a cap. It doesn't talk about anything about a lottery system. This is a totally foreign concept. This is new because guess what's on the agenda? The
right.
strategic plan, and guess what else is on the agenda? Dr. Haas is going to talk about, he's going to present the result of the pilot program at Henley.
Well, let me get back to that in 1 second. Nicole Athey, it's care-acps.org. We're going to keep going on this in a moment. Joe Thomas in the morning.
Like us. Follow us. Just don't touch that dial.
I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Nicole Athey, the website, if you're a parent in Albemarle County, it's care. Just like the, you know, care-acps.org, and join in, find out more. We're trying to get everyone kind of on the same boat and rowing in the same direction, because there's a lot of money and there's a lot of political careers that are trying to be made on this idea of builds, and I think it's intentional that Charlottesville, having been set up as in 2017 to be this flashpoint, then they come in, and I don't think it's coincidental that they're saying, hey, let's have the Southern Poverty Law Center write social studies curriculum and things like that, because they're not, and this is the Orwellian twist of a phrase. It's not about justice and inclusion. As a matter of fact, the tribalism is exactly what I thought we were fighting in schools when we would say, oh, this is no bullying zone. And then you tell everyone, well, except for you, because your tribe is bad, because somebody 100 years ago was bad in your tribe. Nicole, Talk about what comes next. I mean, you've talked with some of the school board members, and I see that you've been frustrated with your interactions with them in trying to, you know, get some attention for this. You're treated, this movement is being treated as just a bunch of parents rather than a group with some seriousness to actually make a presentation to the board. Where do you go from here?
Well, I'm not going to divulge our strategy.
Oh, well,
but
all right.
We have one.
Darn
we
it.
Absolutely have one. We are no fools. And you know what? We're coming up with a school board and an administration that don't want to be challenged. They're not used to it. They definitely don't want out of parents or citizens who they can't control, and in fact, that's their electorate, right? And if we get this kind of treatment, they certainly aren't going to want it out of teachers who they can control, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at now is exactly what you just said, to expose these nonsense words, cover words, that mean the exact opposite. It's just like what they're calling us. Because you start to hear the talking points, it's all over. You guys are segregationists. I'm like, how does asking to slow down... How does asking to say we don't believe people should be binned by these identity pools, right? We think that is reinstituting segregation type concepts. You know, so they use words that are exactly the opposite. And what we're looking to do is build a further awareness. So at the worst case is that we're building awareness. At the best case, we can affect change. We need teachers to be brave and to come forward. That does not mean to be a pawn for us. Nobody will be asked for anything illegal. Nobody would be asked to be put in a bad position. We're asking for teachers to come and just, do we have this wrong? Are we off base? Does everybody love this stuff? Are you able to express concerns? Because what we're hearing is not that I think you're hearing the same, but we had someone, we are aware of what is actually being said about the parents, not in the hallways or the break room, by top administration in meetings, big meetings, that are extremely, extremely not nice about the parents.
Whoa.
And so if teachers are hearing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's why we want to encourage the whistleblower, not to out them. I don't want to, you know, I'm not one of those media people that's going to leave somebody's life and reputation destitute on the side of the road for my own aggrandization. I respect, the whistleblowers, and it's funny, I'm told whistleblowers are sanctified people until they stand up against, one of the left's march to an agenda point and remaking of an educational structure that has been failing for 10 years now. I mean, it's not like the Albemarle County School Board has been, adding to the curriculum vitae of school achievement. Yeah, they've done better, against some of the other school districts in Virginia, but overall, for the last 10 years, the academic achievement of the average American student is falling by the wayside, and now they want to take away grading, they want to take away achievement awards, they want to take away, all these things that they're going to grade you on whether you did the work rather than whether you got the answer right. I'm sorry, I mean, you're creating an indentured servant class that can't do the sufficient educational things when they get out into the workforce. So what's left but become ward of the state?
That's right. So teachers, parents, you don't have to be complicit with this. They're going to force your hand one way or the other. With these new, there was a law passed, I think it was in February, and, could take some time to enact it. Albemarle's been on top of that way ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the strategic plan. Their job performance, it won't be. How well do they learn math? How well do your students learn math? Or how, they're going to have these bizarre, vague, hard-to-define, totally subjective criteria about tests of their cultural awareness as part of their performance, right? Like, so this stuff is coming, just like for parents, you're not going to be able to opt out of this stuff. And the strategic plan, mark my words, is the codification of this stuff, because does everyone know every single dollar spent by the school system is you have to check off when you're asking for it. Does this, how does this align with the strategic plan? Yeah. When now we're talking about a strategic plan that's teaching kids, you know, another thing that's in the strategic plan, it actually says one of the metrics for evaluating students is how many hours of activism did they perform.
Right, and that's crazy.
What? Wait, activism?
But here's another point I want to make. So somebody said, well, you know, get some people elected and change the strategic plan. I believe the strategic plan actually dictates how hard it would be to undo the strategic plan. So just shrugging and saying, okay, well, maybe, you know, they'll do this and then next year we'll get some new people on the board. It's not going to be that easy because a lot of the, we watched it in the Republican Party of Virginia and their convention rules. Once you set up something and you make it like a three quarters majority necessary to change it, to amend it, it becomes cast in bronze.
Yeah, I think when it really starts coming in is when they start updating those other policies that have lingering references to the old strategic plan. Mm-hmm. That's when we start talking about curriculum requirements for graduation. I told you guys about this last time. That's where the rubber meets the road. All of it comes back to this. And frankly, what they've sort of used as de facto, I mean, it's been... They keep saying, yeah, it's been out there. I'm like, yeah, it's been out there in a pandemic, right?
Well, it's been out there.
Do you know how many people went to their community forums, which are mandated by law that they have two? 35 and 22.
Right.
And we asked the guy who ran the strategic plan. He's like, well, we have a thousand or two thousand, I don't know how many, in the thousand mark. People respond to a survey. I'm like, that survey was garbage. We put that out on our website. I said, this survey assumes that the respondent agrees with what's in it. He's like, well, yes, we designed it. Yes, it was designed to be affirmational.
Right, exactly. Hey, Nicole, I've got to run.
Guess who else it went to? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, we've got to run to the news, but again, it's care-acps.org. Please join in. Help.